Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through verse number 13. Romans 4, 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even so David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Let's pray. Father, we need help today. I pray you'll forgive me for where I've sinned against you. And I just plead the blood upon this place today and pray that you'll just form a vacuum and cast aside every demon of hell, that there'll be liberty to preach, liberty to hear, and liberty to respond to any invitation you might give to any person at any time. And we'll thank you for what you do. Give us the recall we need. Hide anything don't need to be brought forth. Help us to lift up Jesus and help them to see him, Lord, because it's all about him. I pray that you'll take control today. Let no one quench your spirit, and we'll thank you for what's done. I pray. I just want to say today, I love you, Lord. Help me to love you more day by day. And I pray you'd help this place. I pray you'd help Calvary Baptist Church. I pray you'd help Camp Victory. I pray you'd help the leaders. I pray you'd give them wisdom and direction and guidance in the days to come. And Lord, let a light shine that reach forth across this country that you might get glory, and we'll praise you for it all. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, for his sake we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. The subject that the Lord laid on my heart the other day, and I don't remember what it is. I sort of like Paul, in the body, in the flesh, I know not. And you know, but I do remember the thought came very clearly as I was just meditating upon what do I need to do. We've all got things we can pull out, amen. As Brother Bob said, he had 300 messages he went through. Well, we've all got those things, those outlines and whatnot. But what do we need for the time? You see, I one day I got accused of not preaching the whole counsel of God. Can you believe that? I used to preach about things. I used to have a message called Death in the Pot. Brother, I guess the only one here remembers that, Brother Jimmy. He named him up there right now. But anyway, that was at Myrtle, Mississippi. I pulled out everything out of that thing. Amen. I don't know what you was there. You was there 76. That's for your time, I guess, 76. But I pulled all that stuff and stirred that pot, you know, and I had everything in it from cigarettes to most everything in that pot and what I said about it was right, but my attitude wasn't right. I had that legalistic attitude. I was trying to make that an end within itself. Folks, I want to tell you, legalism won't get the job done. I've been there, done that. And yet we need to have some standards, amen. But the thing about it, I guess I ought to tell you the message, title of the message, okay? This is what God laid on my heart, if I can get it right. I hadn't even got it written down, all right? But the missing principle, are you listening? The missing principle in many professions of salvation. Now, we've talked all week. I've been listening, and it's gone right along where I'm at. Amen. People have said we need the power of God. Boy, that's true. Why is the power of God missing? I'll tell you why. Because there's a missing principle in many professions of salvation. I mean, in other words, why is it we have to run people down, get them to come to church? The missing principle in many professions of salvation. Missing principle, amen. Some of you are grinning because you know what I always preach on, because it's a main issue. Salvation is the main issue. See, I preached 8 years lost. So I could preach up a storm.
I mean, people would come. I own a radio, and people would call me for meetings, and I didn't even know. I'd go to me. I thought it was going to be an evangelist. Amen. I really did. I mean, I went out 20-something weeks one year and pastored a church. The Lord helped the church. Amen. I mean, there wasn't much. They had a Christian school on top of that. Boy, they went whole hog for God, you know. And really, down in my heart, I was doing as best I knew how to do, but there was a missing principle in my profession of faith. I wasn't saved. Amen. And it took a work of God to bring me to that place. Now, what is that missing principle? Oh, you ready? Listen, I'm going to call it the Abraham principle, all right? The principle that Abraham practiced. Oh, you say, preacher, he's Old Testament. I want to tell you something. Don't you listen to some of these so-called doctors. It's got it all figured out, with seven dispensations and all that. I know there's natural visions of time, but you're saved one way, Adam, to the end of time. Amen? If you believe you're saved by works in one time and works in another time, you need to leave. Listen, any man's wrong on salvation, leave his books alone. Amen. I mean, if he's wrong on salvation, I ain't got nothing else to do about what he has to say. Amen. Because man has always been saved by grace through faith. Some look to the cross. They didn't understand all that we should understand on this side, but they still look to the cross, or we look back to the cross. It's around the cross. It's grace, the grace that Jesus came, rode through a virgin's womb, died on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood, rose, sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat, and God said, I'm satisfied, and sit down here at my right hand, and He's praying for us today. He's praying for you today. Amen. Missing principle is Abraham principle, even though it's Old Testament time. And I understand some things, but now, look, wait a minute. Now, before you label me a heretic, you stay with me till I get through. Okay? I'm going to give you the book. See, if I give you something, listen, you know what they accused me, and you said it a while ago. If I give you something new, it's not true. You didn't say it that way, but that's what you were saying. But they said, Jesus, you've got a new doctrine. Paul, you've got a new doctrine. You know what some people say about me? You've got a new doctrine. You know why? Because they've been taught something false so long that they believe anything's not according to their little box or little mold. They think that's anything else is not true. Amen? Well, I tell you what, this book is true. I may be wrong, and I have been wrong, and I've had to get, many times, I've got up and said something that come out of my past. I'm talking about religiously, that maybe even something some other good preachers at Myrtle have said, I've listened to them, and I had to stop. I say, wait a minute, that's not so. That's tradition. Folks, we're captured by tradition. It's ruining us today. Amen? And some preacher, listen, and every one of us preach with a margin of error. We've got flesh. Yeah. Jesus is the only one who did. Amen? Right. So let's just stay with me, all right? See, when I wrote about this in a paper some years ago, I got branded. Oh, I'd hate to be a horse in Texas that wasn't branded. It wouldn't even be fit for glue. Man wouldn't even want to put his brand on. He ain't even fit for glue. Amen? So it's all right to be branded. Amen. Somebody said, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. Amen. Y'all get that? You get that down after a while? So I'm not going to give you anything new from the book, but it may be something a little different from what you've heard, but you stay with me. Because through the years, God showed me this is missing in many professions of faith. And this is our problem in our churches. And we're trying to make people live right who've never had a liver transplant. Amen. God, I mean, we listen, I'm like the brother over here. I don't go out and deal with toe jam problems. Amen, brother. I understand that. And I've had some people say, well, you're not a pastor because he just won't come visit you. Well, I'm not going to go over there. Listen, I got a family in our church one time. They were older family, and they wanted to try to get me on their side. I was leery of them whenever I was called as pastor 19 years ago, and he come up and kissed me on the cheek. Now, I don't mind people kissing me on the cheek if it's fellowship, but I wondered about that Judas kiss. I mean, you know, I wondered about that. But the thing about it, he got to saying, you know what, he don't come over and visit you. He just won't visit you. You know why? I went to his house when we talked about the Bible. When he was going through his, what he called his period of lostness, I'd go over there and we'd talk about the Bible. I'd go, but if I go over there and they start opening up that garbage can and putting a bunch of gossip and junk on me, I don't want that. Amen? Right. Put the lid on your garbage can. You don't have to hear all that. Amen? Well, at any rate, I've been called heretic by some. That's all right. I mean, and even publicly have been said that. They don't know that I know that, but I still just love them to hug their neck. Amen. Because, listen, I found some things in the book. See, I went 8 years and through all that, and I thought the thing to do is tell everybody where I'm at and what I'm going through, and they'd pray for you. Uh-huh. Now, brother, I went blank, Brother Philip. I'm getting older. I can't think like I used to. But Brother Philip may not remember back in those years as much. You remember some of it. But I will tell you, I told some people, and I thought they'd pray. And I had some preachers that I'd help start a Christian school in their church and preached in their pulpits that literally walked by me at the back door. Well, we were sitting in a service one day. My wife was here, and there was people around in chairs at the back of a church. Had a pretty good little space behind the last pew. And there's one of those churches that had, there was issues. Just kept going on and on and on. And there wasn't nothing wrong with that. But this preacher had to go, and he comes out down the side, him and his wife, and he shakes hands with everybody and gets to me. And here he walks up to me. And I won't tell you what. That bothers you. It bothers you. I don't care who it is. It bothers you. But one day, one preacher was preaching, and he thought he had my problem all figured out. He knew all about me, and he was shooting me with that automatic 66. It wasn't a 38, amen. It's an automatic 66, and he thought it was shooting me with it. And he was shooting me, and I was sitting about where this brother sitting here about three or four pews back, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, if you was where he was, and he is where you are, you'd be harder on him than he is on you. Now, that day, that didn't mean as much to me as it did later, because that was exactly right. I had gotten so legalistic and things because I thought that was the thing to do. I was trying to find peace and satisfaction in doing and don'ting, you know, and keeping this and doing that. And finally, it come to a point that was exactly right. And God let me go through a 3.5-year period of turmoil time to where I was like a termite in a yo-yo. Didn't know which way was up, which way was down. You know why? So I could look out at you, and I don't care what you say about your experience or what you are or what color you are or what you've been through or what you hadn't been through. I can look at you and say, I'll stay with you. I'll love you where you're at. And God give us a ministry of that. And we've got a lot of undesirables by the religious world. They don't want them around. Amen? But that's all right. I'll fight for them. Who was it said they'd fight? Was it somebody's talking about Brother Hartman? I'll fight for my sheep and sheep to be. Amen? Yeah. I mean, there's sheep to be. And that's not Calvinism. That's just truth. Amen? Yeah. Jesus said, I got sheep that you know not of. Amen? That's just the fact is, I know God's going to do a work in some of them's heart. Some of them don't even know where they're at, even though they say they're lost. I'll stay with them. I'll love them. Amen? Yeah. I'll stay with them. And don't you try to... And that's why I'm like Brother Bob talked about. He, I don't want them messing up the invitation. Amen? Well, you're not going to mess up my people. I mean, I've had some of them come out and said, preacher, I believe we got somebody else need to pray for us lost. Sometime after some preachers preach. I tell you, that's pretty sad. You know what? Missing, I'm still on subject. Missing principle. I'm going to call it the missing principle is the Abraham principle. Now, what is that missing principle? Best I know how. And I'm going to show you where Jesus preached it and Paul experienced it, and we need to practice. I guess that's an outline, all right? As best I know how. All right, first of all, what is that? What did he say in verse number 12 of there? Now, you know, in this context, this tells us when Abraham was saved, by the way. And a point we could call his salvation experience, righteousness was put on his account. When was that? Romans says there in verse number 3, it says, for what... You want to hold this Bible for me, brother? I'm a little far away. But he said, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You say, well, that's the way we are. We're saved by faith, right? That's true. He believed God. Now, the Scripture, what saith the Scripture? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I know it isn't. It's mentioned also in Galatians chapter 3 and James chapter 2, that same verse of Scripture that it said, what saith the Scripture? Where's that at in the Old Testament? It said that it's a perfect tense verb, which means a past completed action that's got existing results. And Jesus had said, Abraham saw my day. I want to tell you, he was saved by faith. He believed the Scripture and put on his account righteousness. And the Bible said, if you don't have righteousness, who is Jesus, by the way? 1 Corinthians 1:30. You're not going to get in. Amen. Somebody said, well, that means I got to live right and walk right and spit white. I'll tell you what, if you got him, you'll want to live right. You'll want to walk right. You'll want to spit white. Amen. But it's not those outward things. It's an inward thing that does come on the outside. We've got a lot of people who say, well, what's inside counts? That's liberalism. Amen? Others think, what's on the outside counts? That's legalism. Why not getting liberty? See, liberalism is motivated by lust. That's a ditch. Legalism motivated by law. Liberty motivated by love. Loving Him and loving others. Amen. How'd I get off on that? Amen. But that's where we're at. Now, but faith is what He said. He believed God. Now, where is that? He said it's an Old Testament scripture recorded. Where is that? Why? You look it up. Genesis 15:6. Amen. No problem about that. Amen. Now then, the problem comes. When was that? Oh, boy, that really hurts us. Because see, we so long said all you got to do is believe. You got to believe. Believe what? Believe what? What kind of faith you got to have? He said, in essence, He said you're blessed. Now, you can read Galatians with that. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 9. For they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. In other words, basically, we put those scriptures together and say you're blessed if you believe like Abraham believed in one sense. In a sense, he called it, in verse 12, steps of faith. Oh, preacher, you preaching progressive salvation. Now, some people told that on me and Brother Charles. Said, you're just preaching progressive salvation. I got new. Brother Charles called it a preparatory work to bring you to salvation. Salvation is instantaneously. Instantaneous. You mamas had babies. I mean, you just all at once, you just up and had a baby born, didn't you? No, you went through 9 months of preparatory work. Amen? I'm not saying how long it takes or what, but it's got to be a work done for you. And He said, you're blessed with Father Abraham if you walk in the steps of faith. Now, let me ask you, in your profession of salvation, did you walk in the steps of that faith that Father Abraham did? That's a principle. And if you didn't, you're not blessed with you. Now, stay with me. Don't mark me off, all right? Because Genesis 15:6, if you'll study the Scripture and plot out the genealogies. Boy, I want to tell you what, it'll help you sometime just to set those genealogies in there for a purpose. Yeah. And it'll help you sometime just to plot them out put it in the right perspective and let those lines overlap one another. It's a good insight for you, all right? But you find out something. Genesis 15:6 is when Abraham got into the land of Canaan. He had been there approximately nine years before he was ever saved. Now, somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, now, wait a minute. Stay with me. What does the Bible say? We got a radio program, and got all those on the website now. On Ask the Pastor, a bunch of questions, you know. And I say, what does the Bible say? It don't matter what I say. I'm nothing. Amen? It don't matter what anybody said. I mean, I love Brother Ray. He's my hero. But you know what? In one sense, it didn't matter what Brother Ray said. It doesn't matter what Dr. R.G. Lee said. It don't matter what anybody says. Amen? I'm talking about if they're not with the book. What does the Bible say? He said, well, he talked about he being the father of faith, not only the Jews, the circumcision, but also the uncircumcision, the Gentile. Hallelujah, that's us. And he said, when did that come? When he was in uncircumcision, before he was ever circumcised. In fact, he wasn't circumcised in Genesis 6:17, right? That's a sign of the covenant, the cutting of the covenant. But the thing about it, he walked in steps of faith. And it says he was saved 9 years after he got the land of Canaan. Yet Hebrews 11 says he left the Ur of Chaldees by faith, looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Somebody said, man, all we got to do is just believe. Believe what? He did believe in the Ur of Chaldees. What? I don't know exactly all he believed, let's break it down. And what are the steps of faith that's missing in most people's experience? Now, don't go to sleep on me, amen? I mean, don't mark me off. I know it's a hard time. But listen, I'm trying to give you something, and you're going to be responsible for it whether you hear it or not. You ought to be thankful if you've got an ear to hear truth. Amen. Boy, I talked to a preacher the other day that's been studying some of our material for 15 years, and he don't have a lick of truth. Don't understand a lick of truth. And I said, God, thank you. Thank you that you let me see a little something. I've got a whole lot more to see. But I don't tell you what, you've got to have an ear and God's got to give it to you. Amen? Preachers can preach the truth all day long. I've heard somebody say at our church one time, they went off and said, well, I heard that for the first time. And the former preacher, wife got mad because she said, he preached that all those years. Why didn't you hear it then? She didn't have ears. In fact, she didn't have them then. I found out later it wasn't really truth. She didn't really get hold of the truth anyway. Amen? What I'm saying, you've got to have an ear to hear, and you ought to be thankful for any light God's given you. Amen? Now, where was I at? Amen? He said he left by faith. Well, I believe this, all right? It's a study of the principle of Scripture, all right? The Bible says it is impossible for you without... Well, you talked about the human instrument in a sense. God's Spirit worked, but He works through people. You're the human instrument. The unit was out there. And he said, Philip said, you understand what you believe? He said, how can unless some man got it? Now, he didn't understand all he was saying, but that's true, because the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10, 13. And then he said, how can they call on Him of whom they've not believed? How can they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? You've got to have some human instrument cross your path. Amen. God's way. He could have put it on the trees, the Scripture, if that's all it took, and let the leaves fall at the right time right in front of you. And that would have got the job done. But that ain't the way He chose to do it. Amen. He chose to use nothings. Use nothings. Us. Amen. And so I believe somebody went over down into the land of the Ur of Chaldees and told them about the God of heaven. I don't know who that somebody was, but possibly if you plot the genealogy out, you'll see that Shem was still alive well into Abraham's life. Well, I believe he told him about the boat floating. Amen? And told him there's a God of heaven. Amen? And there they were, all that people, the descendants of Shem even there. And that was his kinfolk. And he, like Paul, wanted his family, I believe, to believe in the God of heaven. And Abraham was the only one who said, I believe that. He believed that God was. Now, I know the Bible says that Terah, wasn't that his name? God had picked him up and carried him out. But you read, you know how the form of the head of the family is considered the one to move. And I believe what happened, Abraham went back and said, Dad, I'm leaving this place because God spoke to my heart. There's a God of heaven. He believed God was. Now, faith of any kind will work. And I believe he had an intellectual faith that God existed. Hebrews 11, 6 said, without faith it's impossible to please God, but he that believeth that God is means he's just real. And you'd be surprised how many Baptist preachers don't even believe he is if you really question them. Amen? I mean, all they go through the motion, but yet now they get on the pillow at night in the darkness time and God's Spirit trying to move in that darkness, they wonder if there's really anything to any of this. Wonder if there's even a God. Amen? Be surprised. Amen. Been there, done that. Preached at Myrtle some 15, 16 times during that time. And yet at night, wonder if it's really a God. Huh? Lost. Now, I didn't know it yet, but lost. You understand? So therefore, he said, I believe God is. And he said, in Hebrews 11, 6, said, in essence, if you please in God, when you believe God is or God exists, it'll cause you to seek Him. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So intellectual faith that God is will lead you to a seeking faith. Oh, preacher, now you know the Bible says no man seeks after God. That's true in the natural condition until God sticks down His finger in that hole, that emptiness, that void, that God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. That's why men try to fill it with sex and drugs and work and jobs and materialism and religion and everything else. It just don't satisfy. It's still that emptiness. You ought to thank God it don't satisfy. Been there, done that. Amen. And so He's keep reaching down in there and making you aware that God is. And when you realize God is, you begin to seek something to fill that emptiness in that void. Amen. And that's what Abraham did. He said, I've got to go. Now you read the Scripture and study out the book of Acts when Stephen was preaching. He told about how God said, get out of your country and leave your kindred and go to a place I'll show you. And the Greek says, go to a place I'll show you as you go. See, Genesis chapter 12 is when he was older. But it tells in Acts 7, tells about that. I'll show you as you go. And so he said, I'm going. But he said, leave your kindred, leave your country. What did Abraham do? Did he obey God? He didn't obey God. He didn't leave his country. He went to Haran. He didn't leave his kindred. His daddy went with him. Lot went with him. He stopped at Haran, which is still in Mesopotamia, which is still in that area of, over there, in other words, between the two rivers now that we talk about. And so as a result, he did not obey God. Now, listen, if you'll obey light that God gives you, which is true, God will give you more light. It may not be as soon as you want. But if you walk in light, you'll have more light if you'll obey that light. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. I know that from experience. I believe that. But he did not obey the light that God gave him. He didn't obey all that God said. Now, some people say, oh, he's saved because he said he had faith. What kind of faith? Intellectual faith led to a seeking faith, looking for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. But as a result of all that, you realize he stopped at Haran. They stayed there. Now, it's hard to determine the exact time that he stayed in Haran. It could have been 32 years, and it could have been less. But I believe it's closer to 32. Some of those times are really hard to determine. All those right through that area of the time, the Tower of Babel and all that stuff was going on, you know, in that so-called man-made dispensation, amen. But still, it was he stopped there, okay? But when his daddy died, God spoke to him again. Said, I've already told you, Abram, back down yonder in the land of Canaan. Get out of your country. Yeah, that's Genesis 12. How old was he? 75 years old. Get out of your country, leave your kindred, go to a place I'll show you. And Hebrews says, I'll show you as you go. Now, just stay with me now. Don't mark me off heretic. I'm telling you the book. Amen. When I first saw this, it like to blow my mind. But God had me ready for it. Amen. See, after I was saved, I said, I don't want anything anybody has ever said. I don't want anything I've said. I wanted to just take it and go with it for truth. And all at once, one day, I was teaching through the book of Genesis, and I got up and I said to the church, I said, Noah's 120 years and building the ark and preached 120 years. And 2 weeks later, I studied out in the office that morning. God spoke to my heart clearer than you speak to me. And he said, how old was Noah? How long did Noah preach? I said, 120 years. I spoke to him in my heart, you know. And he said, where is it at? And I got down to the Bible. I was going to show God where he preached 120 years. Now, it does say that my spirit will not strive with man but 120 years. That's where it comes from. But he said, man waxed worse and worse, and time elapsed. And he said, and I'm going to kill the whole bunch. Y'all, I hope you know enough to know what I'm talking about. Amen. And he said, I'm going to kill the whole bunch. In other words, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and walked, which is a continuous action verb, walked with God. And then God said, build an ark so long, so wide, so high. And he made a covenant with him. And he said, you build this ark, and I make a covenant with you. You, your wife, your sons, and their wives go in the ark. Now, it still didn't tell me how long Noah built the ark. But I got to looking, and I found out how old the oldest boy was when the ark floated. He was 100 years old. You, your sons, and their wives. So they're already married before God told them to build an ark. Boy, that blows minds right there. Amen. You see, I don't know. And so I began to figure out. I said, if they got married at 20 years old, that means it was 76 years that Noah built the ark. It took him to build the ark and to preach. And I don't think it was that long. Amen. But don't matter. God spoke to my heart. And that day he said, doesn't matter how long Noah built the ark, whether it's 5 years or 500 years. He said, that doesn't matter. That ain't going to change things. But he said, some things do matter. And he said, get up and tell your congregation you follow tradition. And tell them, hey, you made a mistake on that. I had to do that. It didn't bother me because I want truth. I even started sometime in the book of Revelation. I said, now when I start the book of Revelation, I said, I may have to come back later and tell you some things that I told you wrong over here. And I did. Amen. And I probably have to do it again. Amen. We still don't know all about the book of Revelation. But the thing about it, when I got to where Abraham was saved studying Genesis, it like to have blown my mind. I was like some of you are sitting there today. Amen. I mean, after all, he left. Hebrews chapter 11 said he left the faith. But yet he said, blessed is the man who walks in the steps of faith. And that's the missing principle. People have never walked in the steps of that faith. They've had an intellectual faith that God is. God spoke to their heart some way. They up made some profession. And the work of Holy Ghost conviction that he talked about a while ago, he called it conviction, which is the word reproval, which means to convict and convince of three things. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Folks, a lot of people now know have never been convicted of righteousness. Amen. They've had conviction, but it wasn't complete. Amen. So there. And by the way, let me ask you another question. When God spoke to him in Acts 7, it records it. And in Genesis 12, when he was 75 years old, still in the land, get out of your country, get out of, leave your kindred, and go to a place I'll show you as you go. Did he ever tell him about the seed? Never did. How are you going to believe something you ain't been told about? And Jesus said, he saw my day. And by the way, seed is not just Isaac. It's Jesus single. You know that in the book of Galatians. I hope you know that. Amen. We're in that seed, by the way. But the thing about it, how could he believe in Jesus, the coming Messiah, if he hadn't been told about it? See, sometimes God just gives you enough, a little light. You obey him. That's why he'll enlarge that to you. Now, here he gets in the land of promise, but he carried Lot. He still didn't obey God, carried Lot. But God's so good. God still enlarged the promise to him now and tells him about the seed that you're going to have. You know, in singular. Seed, singular. I don't understand that. Sarah's womb's dead. How in the world are we going to have a boy? How are we going to have a seed? I mean, a lot of questions. God sends him a test. Famine comes. He goes off to Egypt. God never told him to go to Egypt. You know what? He went down there, passed his wife off as sister, half lie, half truth, amen, half sister, amen. Well, I'm not going to get into all that, but think about it, it caused a lot of problems. He picked up Hagar, I believe, in Egypt, brought her back, and that caused problems later on. We're still suffering that today in this Persian Gulf outfit, Iraqi outfit. But the thing about it is, he come back, he called, and in the meantime, what did he do? Call on the name of the Lord. Somebody said, anytime you call, you'll be saved. Listen, if God hadn't done a work, you'd call all day with your head, but till your heart cries out. Amen? You'll never be saved. Verse 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen? He's got to do that work. He's got to bring you to that place. So here he comes to that place that he calls out, but yet he's called on the name of the Lord, went down to Egypt, passed his wife off sick, came back, still got Lot with him, but finally, problems come. Oh, the devil always gets some things. You say, listen, God was in that. He was trying to get Abraham separated from Lot. And Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then he says, he enlarged his promise again. Now, your seed will inherit this land, he said. And there he was, still frustrated, not knowing what to do, going through a period of time of 9 years in the land of Canaan, not yet to Genesis 15:6, where salvation occurred. And what did he do? What did he say? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He did what he knew to do at the time. He said, what do you mean? Well, he trained 318 men. He was ready for anything come to hand. And whenever all at once he heard about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah being overrun, the child of Lomer and all those kings, he said, well, I'm ready. He said, men, go down there and let's get him. Nobody else could whoop him with 318 men, but he trained them faithfully. Do what you know to do at the time when you're walking in a seeking faith or intellectual faith. That's a step of faith that you're blessed in. Faith will work. He leads you to seek the Lord. You believe God is. And as you seek Him, He'll bring you to a saving faith somewhere if you'll continue. Amen. And the only way you're going to continue is by His grace and His help. All right? It's Him. It's Him. It's all about Him. Well, all at once, what happened? Well, he whooped them, come back with all the spoil, met Melchizedek. Didn't have no argument over tithing, did he? Lost man. Yeah. Somebody said, I don't believe man or tithe. I believe lost man or tithe. You breathe God's air. I mean, He'll help you. If God speaks to you, I mean, if you see that's right, you need to do that. Amen? God says that. So he paid the tithe to Melchizedek, the old king over Sodom, wanted to make him rich. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to stay with God as much as I know how. I don't understand a lot of things. Then Genesis 15:1. Now, some people told me, said, preacher, what that is, that's one of those interpolations. Now, I don't even know what that word means, amen. But they said it means out of order. I don't even know what that word means that or not. All right, I just know what somebody tried to tell me. He said Genesis 15:6, when he said he believed God was saved, had righteousness put on his account. It's just out of order. Well, what did God say in the word in Genesis 15:1? After these things. You know what that says in the Hebrew? After these things. Amen? That's what it said. And so he said, basically, when God spoke to you, He said, I'm your shield and exceeding great reward. You can read it sometime. And I may not have it word for word. I'll paraphrase with you a little bit. And then Abram spoke up when he said, God, you're my shield and reward. I don't understand. I'm frustrated. I don't tell you when God's working in your life and all that emptiness and void there. You may have made a profession. You may have done this or that. And you just don't know which way to turn. It's up today and down tomorrow. You frustrated like Abram was. He said, Lord, I don't understand that seed you're talking about. Found to be Eliezer because my wife's womb's dead. We can't have any children. If he has a child, it'll be my child. God said, Abram, I've been trying to get it through your thick head. It's not through his loins. It's through your loins and Sarah's loins that you're going to have a seed that's going to be cultivated, of course, in the seed of the Lord Jesus. And so about that time, he spoke to him and said, count the stars if you can. I don't know what he did. Don't know what transpired. There's not all recorded. But some way, somehow, all at once, it clicked inside. A saving faith came and God said, that counts. And he put righteousness on his account. That's what he recorded. Now, he says in Romans 4, blessed is the man, whether he be Jew or Gentile, that walks the steps of faith of Father Abraham, because the promise of Abraham is not to the Jews according to the law. Next verse says, but according to faith. You know I'm in on the covenant with Abraham. I'm going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Out yonder. I mean, we're going to sit down together. We're in the promise. Read Romans chapter 2. It talks about how we're the Jews. Amen. We're the elect of God. Don't get afraid of that word. It has nothing to do with the lost man. Amen. Had on that word predestination. Y'all had a problem with that. I don't tell you, it has nothing to do with the lost man. A saved man is predestined to be made in the image of God, to be adopted and to be His inheritance. That's all it says. Just stay with the book. The book will put enlighten a lot of commentaries. Okay, amen. Nothing wrong with commentaries, but the book is where we got to go. Blessed is the man who walks in the steps of that faith of Father Abraham. And so Abraham believed God is. Intellectual faith led him to a seeking faith, led him to a saving faith, and carried him to a serving faith where he offered Isaac. Okay? I mean, faith works wherever it's at. But too many people today in our Baptist churches have geared to whenever intellectual faith comes, then all at once you may have turned from the broad way to the narrow way. And you make a profession of faith. Then you backslide to the broad way. And then rededicate to the narrow way. And the preacher keeps trying to pump you up and press you. And say, well, I was there when you made a profession. Mama says, I was there when you got saved. It's okay. And you've got that emptiness and that doubt. What you need to do is to forget about what any of man said, myself included. Amen. And what does God trying to tell you? What is that friend that you've got trying to tell you? Your companion, if you please. He's trying to tell you there's still an emptiness and a void inside. Folks, I won't tell you. You're going to have to turn from the broad way to the narrow way. And that is not salvation. And then the narrow way leads to the straight gate. And too many people have made professions right here when they turn and they keep propping up. And what they do, they come along and they say, this is what salvation is. I know, I've been taught that. So they make a profession according to what they think salvation is, and then somebody comes along and preach on repentance. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people don't even touch it. But then say, preach on repentance. Well, I never repented. I got to do that. And so they conform to that. They said they repented. All they did was just say the word, I repent. That's not repentance. Repentance is the work of God. I mean, the repentance is God's part. He's got to grant you repentance, and it comes through godly sorrow. Y'all talk, 2 Corinthians say, oh, you ask for a saved man. Ask for a lost man too. That's a principle. Amen. And by the way, after you're saved, there's still going to be some repentance work. And it's not something you can just say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. I won't tell you what. It's going to grieve the Holy Ghost of God inside you. And that grieving is godly sorrow. That'll work repentance and cause you to get right. Amen. It'll cause you to get right. And so as a result, where was I at? Amen. I'm you know, sort of like you. I ain't used to too much around home either. That don't bother me though. But the thing about it is, it's got to be a work of God. Repentance is a work of God, and faith is something God grants you. It's a gift of God. It's not something you work up. It's not your faith. It's a faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you've had intellectual faith, it'll lead to a seeking faith. It'll bring you to saving faith. So when you turn from the broad way, let God teach you. Let God give you the understanding you need that you might be saved. You know something? I won't tell you what. Some people say, I've had men tell me, God doesn't show a lost man anything. Who told you that? God's got to show you something. Amen? He's got to show you something. The Bible said all on the good ground in Matthew 13 had understanding. Isn't that not right? That don't mean you've got to understand the whole book, but you're going to have to understand you're a sinner and He's the Savior. And you're going to have to experience your lostness. Amen? That's that separation from God. I like what somebody said this week. You can't get saved till you get lost. Too many people never been lost. You're not going to get... And it's not just inductive and deductive reasoning. It's a work of God down in your heart. It brings you to that place. Amen? That tells you you're not saved. Amen? And so when you turn from the broad way to the narrow way, it's the straight way, the narrow gate. They lead you to the straight gate. And you know He said, few there be that find it. You know what that's talking about? That's even few that be that find the straight way. The narrow way that leads to the straight gate. Huh? You're so blessed if you just turn from the broad way and come to the narrow way and you say, and God said, listen what the Bible says, Psalm 25:8. He said, He will teach sinners in the way. Now theologically, I know we talk about being a sinner saved by grace, but theologically, God calls you a saint when you're saved. Amen? You don't have to wait 300 years to pay so much to get you out of purgatory to be a saint. Amen? Yeah, but He calls you saint. You know why? Because the sanctification work of the Spirit's been done in your life. Amen? That means a setting apart work of Holy Ghost conviction in all three areas of sin, which is the sin of unbelief, by the way, not just drinking, lying, stealing. A lot of people just deal with the fruit and never deal with the root, but God's Holy Ghost is going to get you down to the root. You won't kill a tree. You can pull a fruit off all day, and all you have is what looks like a dead. You can pull the leaves off, make it look dead, but next spring when everything gets just right, it comes back again. Amen? But you lay the axe to the root of the tree, I guarantee you there'll be no leaves on it next spring. And now that's what he deals with, the root unbelief. And he said of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. In other words, it said the prince of this world, if you go back and study, the prince of this world is God's right-hand man. At one time, Lucifer. He was one of the three, archangels. I believe it corresponded to the Son of God. He was his right-hand man. He was the anointed cherub, the most anointed cherub. And what the Scripture's saying, if God judged him, you better be sure he's going to judge you who are born in sin. Amen. Yeah. And that's more. Yeah, you say, I don't want to go to hell. And it's been said three or four times this week. God don't save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you from sin, as one said, and for his glory. Amen. And until the motive gets right for you coming to the Lord, you can cry out all day long and you'll never be saved. Because he wants to reveal to you the righteousness of God, who is Jesus. In him is life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. All you've got to get there. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. You're just in the foreign field today. Amen. But I don't tell you, blessed is that man who walks in the steps of the faith of Father Abraham. I'm giving you the book. I have a witness on that. I'm telling you the book. I'm not, Brother Tim, I'm in the book. Amen. It's missing in our churches, and that's a principle that's missing. And we're trying to pop them up and say, hey, you just need power. Yeah, we need power, but I won't tell you, he's the power. The Holy Ghost of God. And we're trying to get a bunch of people to live right and act right that's never had a liver transplant. And we got to learn that. That's why you got to have patience with those people. Love them where they are until they see that they're lost. And then, most preachers don't stay with people that's wondering for a long. Well, you're just unstable. I won't tell you what you need to do. Yeah, we're unstable, but you need to stay with them. Amen? Yeah. Well, I've got some people I'll fight for that's right now don't know whether they're up or whether they're down. They don't know whether they're in or how they're, whether they're out. Amen? What do you do, preacher? Just preach. I don't get upset. I mean, the evangelists may come. We have Brother Tim right smart. He comes. I can sit over and amen him. When it's over with, ain't nobody moving. Ain't no use give 27 verses just as I am. I mean, it's all right. God's moving. But hey, why not just go on house? Why not go over and eat something? Amen? I mean, that's somebody's. I've seen them happen in some of these altars. They get down there and they just looking for somebody to come. And if somebody comes, they've got to get them before they're afraid they'll die. I don't tell you what, God starts, he'll finish. Amen? He that hath begun a good work. I know it's talking to the saint of God. But I will tell you, when God gives you saving faith, he does that to bring you to a seeking faith, to bring you to a saving faith, if you will continue. Now, I told you, that's Abraham principle that's missing in many salvation professions of salvation. Now, I also said that I'm going to tell you Jesus preached it. Same thing. How do I know that? Well, John chapter 2, he said, the Bible says that many of them believed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sign them up. Put them in the Baptist. Make preachers out of them. Make deacons. Make missionaries. Make Sunday school teachers out of them. Jesus said, basically, I don't believe you. What it said, he did not commit himself to them. The same word, commit, same word, believe. And in other words, he did not believe them. You said last night, you knew George. Was it you said that? Does he know you? You see, it's not, and I know God in his omniscience knows everything. I understand that. But as far as knowing with that intimate relationship, he don't know you till you come to that place of salvation. And he said to those in John 2, I don't believe you. Now, John 8, we got another group of people. He said, many of the Jews believed on Jesus. Hallelujah, we've had a good revival. Well, we had 18 prayed the prayer. We had this, we had that. They believed. Well, what did they believe with? Well, Jesus said to them this. Now listen, this is where Jesus said the principle, the Abrahamic principle's missing. Listen to what he said. If you continue, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth is Jesus. In him is life. And that word know is to have intimacy. That's the relationship. Amen. You shall know if you continue. That, you say, what does that mean? That means to do the best you know how, and it's going to be solid. Amen. While you're seeking him, I mean, there's things you said, I wished I'd have done it this way, I wished I'd have done it that way. But if you'll just continue in his word, do what you know to do at the time. And listen, Abraham continued, even though he didn't do everything right. One thing Abraham never did do in all those, maybe 41 years from the time he left Ur of Chaldees till he was saved at 84 years old. What did he? What was it? He never went back to the Ur of Chaldees. Made a lot of mistakes. Went down to Egypt, but never went back. Folks, I won't tell you, whatever you came out of when you turned from the broad way to the narrow way, continue in this word. Just don't go back to that. It may have been drinking. It may have been carousing. It may have been religion. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Don't go back to it. Because that's a danger. What did he say in 2 Peter? He said, any man who comes to that place, and he's talking about false prophets and teachers, but apply to anybody. In other words, if a man comes to the knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but if he goes back and again leaves that and is entangled and overcome, it'd been better had he never known the way of truth. Don't go back. Stay with me. Jesus taught that. He taught this Abraham principle. Walk in the steps of... Continue! That's what I'm trying to get our people... Get hold of that promise. Now listen, I can tell you the promise all day long. And this preacher can tell you these promises all week long. But God's got to quicken it to you. Oh, listen. Did you know something? If God doesn't quicken this book, the King James 16:11, amen. If He don't quicken it to you, it ain't going to do a bit of good. I read it for years. I heard it preached for years. It never pricked my heart. God's got to make it sharp. God's Holy Spirit, my friend, amen. He's the only one who can stay there and make it sharp. Reach down and say, and boy, I want to tell you, when He begins to finger make with awareness and making you aware, and He'll bring you to an awakening, and He'll bring you to an apprehension. I mean, He'll apprehend you. He'll catch you like fish on the hook. You know, that's what we talked about. Wasn't it? In other words, once He gets hooked in, He's a good fisherman. You may run with a line and you think you run away, but all at once He'll get you back. Amen? Because He'll go with you wherever you go. Continue in His Word. That's what Jesus... And did you know Paul experienced this principle? He did. Boy, I didn't say it for a long time. I used to preach on 9 reasons why I knew Paul saved on the road to Damascus. Had it, boy, his outline just about right. And then one day I saw where he gave his testimony. By the way, in Acts 26, I think it was Agrippa in Acts 26. I believe it was Agrippa in Acts 26. Basically, he said he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and that's what we talked about, revealing himself to him. Manifested, showed up, Brother Charles has been talking about. And you know what he said? He tells Agrippa, he said, I knew I was going to have to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Yeah. He knew he was called to preach on the road to Damascus. Yeah. But what about where he was saved? Oh, stay with me now. Don't mark me a heretic. I'm going to show you the book. Acts 22:16, when he told the group at the praetorium where he was on those steps. In Acts 22:16, he got to his point of his testimony about Ananias coming over there on the street called straight. And what did Ananias tell him? Ananias said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. Not water, not baptismal water, okay? His sins was not yet forgiven 3 days after this Damascus experience. Bible. I'm not trying to blow you above. I'm just trying to help you today. You see what happened? Paul, when he got a hold of a good look at Jesus, he had to count the cost. Folks, I want to tell you, Jesus told his disciples, he said, you're not my disciple unless you're willing to hate your mother and father and so on and bear the cross and forsake all. Somebody said, that means that's a second work of grace. I want to tell you, that's salvation. You go, he's Lord of all. You say, that's lordship salvation. Well, did he not say, call upon Jesus as Lord? He didn't say, call on him as Savior. I thought he'd take Jesus as your Savior. Make him your Lord. Down the road. That's not scriptural. You don't need to make him Lord. He is Lord. You need to take him as your Lord. And you can't do it. But when God works in your heart, brings you to the end of yourself, I will tell you, at that point, he's Lord. You'll forsake all. You'll love him more than family. You'll love him more than everybody else. And you'll say, I'm willing to do whatever. He counted the cost for 3 days. How do I know that? Philippians chapter 3. He said, listen, here's my pedigree. You think I'm this and that? He said, I've got more than you have as far as things I gave up. He said, I was a Pharisee. I can't quote it word for word. I was a Pharisee. Man, he was a top-notch dog of the dogs of the Jews. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless. And zeal, he said, man, I thought the church was wrong. I persecuted the church. And he said, I was a Benjamin, tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And listen, I believe while he laid there for 3 days under Holy Ghost conviction, counting the cost, am I willing to pay this? He probably said, hey, if I trust this Messiah, I've had people put in jail. If I trust this Messiah, I've had people killed. I might be killed for trusting him. My daddy may go out and bear a casket and say, here lies my son. I don't know that they did that, but some do that. Amen. He come to a conclusion. He said, "Oh, that's nothing." He said, "Everything, I put all those things, plural," and he said, "just dung. It's just feces of an animal. Oscar, in other words. It's nothing compared to winning Christ, which is being saved." And about that time, God had everything set. Ananias come in and said, "Get up and call on the name of the Lord. Your sins will be forgiven." And then, of course, he was baptized to show forth to the world that he was. Amen. He experienced what Jesus preached and what Abraham, the principle that's missing in most salvation experience. Now, I know I've said, I know we followed along. I mean, we've all done it. And I don't hold it against you. But what does the Bible say? We take too much what men have said over the years. Now, I'm not preaching anything new, brother. I may be preaching something new to you, but it's in the book. And that's the old story. 150 years ago, boy, I won't tell you what, some of them could rise up today and see what's being preached and practiced in our churches today. They'd roll over in the grave. Sin. Amen. Oh, it hurts Jesus, hurts her friend. Amen. Because you see, he came to die on the cross that we might be saved. And he didn't soften the message for the rich young ruler when he walked away, did he? No. He didn't soften it. He said, "You're going to have to come my way or no way." And I want to tell you, the way is to get to him. All you got to do is get to him. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily being a long period of time. If it takes it, stay with them. Love them until they get there. If they have to make 100 professions of faith, it don't matter. Amen? Stay with it till they get to the feet of Jesus. And when they get there, it'll be all right. Amen? Because you see, that's the principle. Abraham principle. Steps of faith. Intellectual faith will lead to a seeking faith, will lead to a saving faith, will lead to a serving faith. You won't have to go out with tow trucks and log chains, get them to come to church if they've been saved. Amen? Now, they may fizzle out, but God's Holy Spirit's going to go where you can't go. He'll get hold of them. Listen, He chastens everyone. And we've got this doctrine in most of our churches today. Well, they're saved. They're just backslidden. I've got news for you. God won't let you stay backslidden for very long. He chastens those that are His. He'll give instruction. He'll put discourage on you. He'll send a catastrophe in your life. And then if you refuse, He'll send a casket. It'll be your heaven so as the fire. But it won't be no 10 years down the road. Sin into death. Preachers, love you. Amen. People, love you. I stay with my people. Amen. I've been there 19 years. Almost 19 years. I don't even like to leave now. Amen. You know how many I've missed? I missed a few Wednesday nights. I don't leave on Sunday anymore. It's got to be a very special occasion. Brother Ray died, had his funeral on Sunday several years ago. 1991, is that when it was, brother? Somewhere along that. And I was a pallbearer. So I talked to Brother Paul. I said, "Brother Paul, I don't leave my church." He said, "Do it for Brother Ray. He wanted you." I went off that day, left the church, talked to the people, left the church one day. One time before that, I'd left one Sunday night, go to Camp Zion early. And a couple of years ago, I finally took a vacation, went off one weekend. And then I said, "I'll never do that again." Now, I ain't preached every Sunday, but I've missed 2 Sunday nights and 3 Sunday mornings in 19 years being there. Amen. I preach sometimes when I didn't feel like it. Amen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But what do you do? Listen, because there's some out there, they don't even want me to leave on Wednesday night now. A bunch of them's lost. I've had people move from England's lost. People moving from Vermont that's lost. Why? And listen, that puts a responsibility upon me. I don't have nothing for them. You understand what I mean? Oh, but we try to tell them the truth. And love them and stay with them until God brings them down that steps of faith. Seeking faith lead to a saving faith. Intellectual faith lead to a seeking faith. We'll bring them to a saving faith. And then the wagons will get loaded. Amen. Oh, as I started to say a while ago, too many people just sort of make that move, you know, conform. Now they've got to do it. And every time they bother, they check it out again. Say, "Well, this is where it's at." Amen? This is where it's at. I'm okay. And then somebody else comes along, preaches again, they make another profession. Conform to what they think it is. And they bother stealing emptiness. Well, you better thank God for that little emptiness void down inside that won't let you rest. Amen? And I used to didn't like it. I didn't want to be bothered by it. I even went to Myrtle one time. I said, "Lord, I pray you, I want you just let me to have a good time at camp and not be bothered this year." And you know what he did? He let me not be bothered about my salvation. Yeah, well, I tell you what, if he ever quits not letting you be bothered, you're in trouble, amen. But one day somebody comes and preaches truth of real salvation, and I'm going to tell you what, you can't conform to that. You can't conform to it or what you're doing, amen. But all at once when God works repentance through godly sovereign work completed, hallelujah, save. And then you come along, somebody like me gets up and preaches something, maybe a little different from what you've heard. You say, wait a minute, what's going on? Oh, hallelujah, there it is. I got a new terminology for it. I'm on the rock. I can't get any deeper in the rock. Somebody said, you mess people up. Listen, if you're on the rock, you can't get any deeper in the rock. You may be shaken, but when you come forth, you'll be stronger than ever before. And by the way, somebody said, you'll deceive people, not save people. Because Jesus said this in His Word, Matthew 24:24, talking about the day of the Antichrist on the scene when He's going to do all kind of mighty works and miracles, even some before that time, that would deceive the very elect if it were possible. He's saying it's not possible to deceive them. They may be shaken for a little while, but the Holy Ghost is going to say, that's Him, that's truth, that's the Master, because He's going to guide you into all truth. Yeah. Folks, check out your salvation experience. Check out your profession. It don't hurt you. Amen. I'm not here to hurt you. Because, see, I've got a responsibility. If He had never called on me, I wouldn't have had this responsibility. Amen. But I have it now. And that's what the Lord laid on my heart. That's all He laid on my heart, was the missing principle in many professions of salvation. And that's the Abraham principle. Jesus preached it. Paul experienced it. And you need to practice it as preachers. Let God do the work for God's glory. Father, I pray You just help us today. Thank You for truth. I plead the blood, asking that Your will be done. Give Brother Rob wisdom now. And Lord, just speak to some heart today. Help them know that we care. We love them. We're not here to hurt them. We're here to love them. Take charge. Do a work in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.